would like to ask you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 8. And when you found your place, would like to ask you to stand for God's word. And I really feel like with all of my heart that God has been dealing with some folks this week. I don't know many people here and don't know your situations, don't know much about anybody, but the Lord knows everything about everyone in here. And though we can hide things from a lot of people, when we're adept people, we learn to hide stuff. But what we forget is we can't hide anything from the Lord. He sees everything. And I believe that maybe God spoke to some people this week, and I just pray tonight God would help you in a mighty way to find Him, to seek Him. Ezekiel chapter number 8. And I have a few verses to read, so just bear with me. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, the northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz, who is a Greek goddess there. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing? Listen to this. Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Saddening verse right here. The Bible says, Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence tonight, thankful for another day that you've blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life and the things that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, today you've been gracious and merciful to each one of us that are here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the good singing. Lord, it's just magnified. Glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you'll pass by through a song sometimes and touch us, Lord. And I appreciate you so much and your goodness, Father. I pray that you would bless your people here tonight, those that are saved. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that we'd remove the sin of our lives, that we might draw closer to Thee, Lord, and rest upon Your bosom tonight. God, help us to get as close to You as possible this week, Lord. But dear God, I pray tonight for those that are lost here, Lord. I believe You've dealt with them this week, and I pray tonight, God, that they'd have no more walls to hide behind, but God, You'd make manifest their sin before them, God, that they might repent. Lord, Your word said, lest ye repent, ye all shall perish, Father. And Lord, I just pray tonight the Holy Ghost of God would touch and convict hearts, Lord. I can't do it. These men of God can't do it. But Lord, I pray that You would work in here tonight. Lord, I ask You to bind my heart and bind my tongue, that nothing would come of the flesh or my opinion. But Lord, the word of God would stand alone and speak tonight. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We see here a very saddening story in the context of the scripture. We see Ezekiel in his third vision. God had come down and dealt with the man of God. Israel had been taken into captivity. Both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the Babylonians, had come in and taken them away. And here they are in a foreign country, slaves. And here God is dealing with the man of God. And He takes Ezekiel back to the exact reason why the children of Israel, why the whole house of Israel were in bondage. And He shows them, and He takes Ezekiel to the temple. And he shows them all the great abominations that were going on. While Ezekiel had no idea what was going on, and man had no idea what was going on, but there was still Jehovah God that looked beyond the walls of the temple and beyond the outward appearance of man and saw the deep things that were going on, the abominations that were going on. While they were to be sacrificing to the Lord and while they were to be worshiping God, they were in there worshiping the sun, and they were worshiping Greek, all these idols, and sacrificing things to other gods, and God was fed up with it. Amen. There comes a point when God gets fed up with our sin. And sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a light thing. No matter how much Hollywood tries to twist and turn it, no matter how much the modern crowd tries to avoid it, sin to God is still a major deal. And it was the very reason why the whole nation of Israel, who were free, who had been under the deliverance of God and lived in the blessings of God, are now in a strange land without God. Because they chose to forsake God. That's the whole context of what is going on right here. But I believe we can apply it today's time. We can apply it to save people that are living in sin and doing things. But tonight I kind of want to look at applying it to lost people here tonight and the things that I believe and if you don't agree with me, that's all right. I believe one of the biggest problems we have in the New Baptist Church and in today's church is that people have been accustomed to sin for so long and are so used to religion that they have learned to hide behind the walls of religion. I believe that with all of my heart. They're taught from a young age, the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, and there's no convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and sin has made such light thing of that people have grown into salvation, but that's not Bible. They're hiding. I believe in the majority of every church, there are people that are sitting in God's house that are playing church, that are playing Christian, that are playing games. And you can fool the pastor, you can fool the Sunday school teachers and the choir leaders, but there is one thing, we cannot fool God. He knows it all, Brother Derek. He sees beyond the walls. If the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach on when God looks beyond the walls that we're hiding behind. I believe so. I've seen it just in 5 years. I'm still wet behind the ears. I'm still just a little pup. I don't know a whole lot. But in the last 5 years, you would not believe the amount of religious people that I've seen God break, that I've seen God deal with, and that I've seen come to an altar and cry out and beg God to save them. I've seen Sunday school teachers. I've seen Baptist deacons. I've seen men that have stood and pastored Baptist churches get under Holy Ghost conviction and cry out to God, because as they began to look at their life and as God began to take His light and shine down where they really live, God showed them they were lost and their religion would absolutely do them no good. Friend, you can hold on to religion, but it'll do you no good. You can hide behind those walls, but my God sees the inward man. He saw the inner court. I wonder tonight, if God was to look beyond your walls, what does He see? What's going on? So you can hide it from everybody else, but you know. Those ancients of the house of Israel, those 70 men, they was fooling everybody, but they knew. I believe the majority of lost people, I believe they know they're lost. When I was lost, I knew I was lost. But I just did not want to admit it, because I was full of pride. And people will sit in church Sunday after Sunday knowing they don't have a time, knowing they don't have a place, but for the sake of self and the sake of pride, they'll sit back there and they'll get used to that feeling. Before long, they become so comfortable that they've convinced themselves they're all right. I've seen it firsthand with so many people. Number one tonight, let's look at the appearance. Here in chapter 8, Ezekiel's brought to the outside of the place, and he looks at the temple, and by all means, the appearance was all it was supposed to be. Just by looking on the outside, brothers and sisters, Ezekiel had no idea what was going on. Can I say, number one, appearance can be dressed up. Amen. You see, we've learned how to dress ourselves up so much that we appear lost. It's easy to appear like a Christian. It's easy to dress in nice clothes. It's easy to carry around a King James Bible. It's easy to stand up and shout hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, you can go to the average Baptist church in about 5 weeks. You can fit in with the whole crowd. You can fix the outside up and you can make the exterior look holy, but God sees beyond the walls. People have learned. Did you know you can dress in a suit and a dress and carry a King James Bible and shout the glory every Sunday and still die and go to hell? Amen. Right. Amen. You see, we're living in a day and age where it's all about an outward appearance, an outward appearance. And I believe Christians should have the outward appearance. But I'm far more impressed with somebody that God deals with, and it's an inside-out thing, not an outside-in thing. What our problem is, we see people come as young children, they make a profession of faith on an altar, and they go outside the church and they live like hell for 40 and 50 years and come back in and get fixed up with religion and they evolve into salvation. But salvation is not an evolutionary process. It is not a fix me up on the outside process. Salvation is an inward experience that manifests itself on the outside of man. We can dress it up. That temple that Ezekiel looked at looked amazing. Beautiful. And people look at you and they see the outward appearance that it's dressed up and it's all right. But you know just as well as I do on the inside, there's something far different going on, because the appearance can be dressed up. So many people, they're dressed up with religion. You see it everywhere you go, brother preachers. You've seen it and I've seen it, but it does nobody any good. It wouldn't have done me any good to come into church as a drug addict and just lost earrings and put on a suit and tie. Wouldn't have done nothing for me. I could learn how to do it. It's easy. People... We adapt real easy to our surroundings. And I believe with all of my heart, so many people are sitting in churches and they've adapted and they've adapted. And the solution to their problem is, I'll just fit in. I'll just fit in. Amen? Amen. But it'll do you no good to fit in.
Amen.
The appearance can be dressed up, but we also see that the appearance can be deceiving. Now, by all means, when the man of God looked at the outside of the temple, everything looked all pretty and perfect. But when God told him to dig a hole in the wall, and he got to digging around on the inside and he opened up the door, he was deceived and shocked to see the abominable things that were going on in the house of God. I wonder tonight if God was to dig a hole on the outward expression on your outside person and was to dig a hole and open up the door to your heart, the place that only you know, the place that the preacher can't see or the Sunday school teacher can't see, and God shined a light. I wonder what God would see on the inside. Would it be deceiving? Amen. Looks can be deceiving. Those deacons and those preachers that I've witnessed get saved, they're putting on a big deception.
Yeah.
To the whole world, Brother Wynn, they had it.
Yeah.
Good men, I'm not talking about wicked men.
Come on,
I'm talking about good, moral people, faithful to church, faithful to the tithe, carried the right Bible, said the right things, knew the right people, yet on the inside they knew they were deceiving because they were lacking the Holy Ghost of God dwelling in the inside. They were religious, but they were lost. They were deceiving people. I'll read you something over here in Matthew. Matthew chapter number 23. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, that religious crowd that had everything, the appearance on the outside. Why, it was everything it was supposed to be. I mean, they were religious men, but God has a thing to do, something He does to religion. He grinds it up and throws it away.
Amen.
Because it does you no good and it does me no good. The Bible says in Matthew 23 and 25, He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." He said, you're like the graves on the hillside that men make beautiful. They've dressed it up, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. See, we actuality is that people are so deceiving because the outside is all right, but on the inside they know they're lacking Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It is no great mystery to men whether they have Jesus on the inside. I don't believe that. Because something as big as God moves into a man's heart, he can tell.
Amen.
There is a difference. But see, the appearance, it can be deceiving. I don't base people's salvation on what they look like. We'd fool ourselves. There are going to be a lot of people in heaven that you didn't think was going to be there, and there's going to be a lot of people in hell that you just knew was going to make it to heaven. Amen. These people, they hide behind the walls, but I'm telling you, God looks beyond your appearance. You can dress it up all you want to, but I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that looks deep in the hearts of man. So we see here that we see the appearance. Appearance isn't much. Number two, we see the actuality of the text is the actuality is that God sees. They thought that they was hiding it. You could read in verses 11 through 16 in Ezekiel
When God allowed the man of God to go in, and the outside it was perfect, it was what it should be. Everything was all right, but God took the man of God on the inside of the temple, and he began to see the wicked, vile things that were going on. They thought they had it hid, when they thought that Jehovah God wasn't looking. They were in the temple, the holy place of God, and they were making it of nothing, much like people are doing in your average Baptist church today. Making light of the house of God. As they were doing their wickedness, as they were sinning, as they were sacrificing idols and worshiping a different God, they thought that God had been blinded, but he come to find out that God seen deep inside the hearts of men. He said in the chambers, listen, he said, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? God was looking on the inside of these men, in their mind, in the chambers of their imagery, in their mind, in their heart. God began to look, and their actuality is that God, number one, saw their relationship with sin. These men who on the outside portrayed a relationship with the Lord, these men on the outside who portrayed a relationship with holiness and portrayed a relationship of righteous living, God looked on the inside and really seen that they had a relationship with sin, that it didn't bother them to go into the house of the Lord and do what they want to do. They had no conviction on going in the house of God with the sin and the wickedness in their life. God seen that the relationship with sin was much more than their relationship with Him. I told you the story the other night of Percy Ray, the message he preached on people that have went out and had an affair with the devil, and they produce little sin babies, and they've learned to love those things so long that they won't let them go. I'm afraid that there are men and women sitting here tonight that have a relationship with sin, that one sin that you're not willing to let go of, and in fact you don't think there's nothing wrong with it. You've been with it so long that you've justified it in your mind. You've carried around and you've loved it and you've nurtured it and you've had a relationship that it's become a part of you. And God sees that relationship. Wonder what your relationship with sin is tonight. See, for a child of God, sin should do something to us. We should detest the very odor of sin. We should shun the very presence of sin from our lives and from our homes and from our families. But we are living in a time when men and women have become used to the fact of sin as present. I hate it. I detest sin with everything inside of me. Sin was the very reason I was on my road to hell. It wasn't the drugs. It wasn't the booze. It wasn't the parties. It was a thing. I had a problem with sin. And men and women, they're willing to take care of their drug problem and their alcohol problem and their party problem, but they're not willing to address their relationship with sin. And until you're willing to admit that I have a sin problem, you'll never be saved. Amen. Actuality is God sees that relationship. God sees the sin that put His Son on the cross is the sin that you're clinging to and holding on and loving with every ounce of you, and you'll not let it go. But friend, until you're willing to let it go, you'll never be able to be saved. Right. Amen. Amen. I don't believe in this easy believism salvation, just coming, saying ABC prayer at Sunday school and leave and live a wicked, vile life and never change. That's not Scripture. Somebody needs to tell people you have got to repent of your sins to be saved. God sees the relationship they had. It didn't bother them. And some of you tonight here lost and sin that's in your life, it should just bother you so bad, but it doesn't bother you a bit. And God sees it.
Amen.
Friend, God's good at busting up old relationships. Amen. God's good at taking those things that you love and turn them into the very things that you detest if you're willing to let Him do it. Not only does the actuality is God sees your relationship with sin, but God sees your reaction to His Word.
Amen. Hello, brother. Hello,
people that are saved by God's amazing grace, when the man of God gets up there and preaches the Word, though it might stomp on your feet, though it might get in your pea patch and disrupt things that you just didn't want to get disrupted.
Yeah.
If you're a child of God, I believe with everything inside of me, you'd be thankful for it. Though it might get down and it might upset you for just a little while, you can leave and say, thank God that He loved me enough to tell me I was doing wrong, and I just want to bless His sweet name that He would desire to have a relationship with me and show me where I'm doing wrong. But see, the very thing is, tonight I've preached and I hadn't said any of your little pet sins, yet you've already got offended. And the Word of God, which is to help you, which is to build you up, which is to draw you closer to Him, has become something of an offense to you because you're lost without Jesus Christ. And you can put on a smile, and we can pretend that it's not bothering us when, but God sees the reaction to your heart. When the man of God, when that Bible is open and God begins to manifest itself towards you.
Amen.
Instead of turning to the light of Jesus Christ, you turn away and you push it away and it offends you. Friend, I'm just here to tell you tonight, if the Word of God offends you, I'll check up with my salvation.
Yes.
Because the Word of God, to those that are saved by His amazing grace, this is the most precious, most adorable, loving thing that I have in my life.
Yes.
Precious to those who have been saved. But God sees how you react to His Word. I believe with all of my heart, if men and women are saved, there comes a point in their life when they have sinned and the gospel is shined onto it, that they will repent and turn from it. That is the gospel effect on saved people.
Amen.
They would return from their sins and turn to Christ. But see, some of you, instead of turning from your sin and turning to God, you've become bitter in your heart towards the Lord because you don't want to let it go. But friend, until you're willing to let it go and willing to let God do a work in you, you'll be lost. God's Word offended me tonight. I would check up on my salvation. I would look deep inside of me and say, why is it that this offends me the way it does? This Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and coming out.
Amen.
But I appreciate it.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
The actuality is God sees your relationship with sin. He sees your reaction to the Word. But in actuality, God sees the reality of your heart. God saw the men and women in the temple doing all their sin. He saw them doing that. But also God seen before they went in, when they were on the outside singing praises to Jehovah. Raising their hand and smiling in front of the people and putting on their show. But all the while they were fooling God, or fooling the men and fooling the women. But they weren't fooling God, because God looked beyond that. It was outside smiles. He looked on beyond the glory hallelujahs. And He looked down, and God saw the reality of their heart, that it made them sick to be around the people of God. I see it time and time again in churches. I'm just a young fella in church, don't know much. But I see it in church services time and time again. When people get happy, Brother Wynn, and start getting excited and worshiping the Lord, and the service goes on beyond 12 o'clock, or it goes beyond 8:30 on Wednesday night, or we really get in there and have revival, and people are getting happy and testifying, and you see them in the back shaking their head, wondering why in the world does he have to get up, wondering why that preacher is so excited. God sees the reality of your heart that you would rather be a million miles from here. You would rather be somewhere else doing something. But for religious sake and for personal sake, you've come in here and endured the word of God. But God sees beyond the outward this. He sees beyond it.
Amen.
And he sees the reality of the heart that men and women would rather be anywhere else doing anything else. They want to be seen. God sees that heart. You see, there's something about we can lie all we want to, but the heart will tell the truth on us every time. God sees you'd rather be somewhere else doing anything. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 15. The Bible says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Wasn't the things you would think just in human experience would be the outside things that defile a man. But Jesus told those Pharisees, it's that thing in your heart.
Yes.
See, what's wrong with men and women sitting in our Baptist churches, they've fixed up the outside and they've took care of everything else. And they've got a name and they've got a position and they've got clout in the church, but they never took care of the heart problem. And until you're willing to take care of the heart problem, you'll die lost without God. No matter how much you fix it up, no matter how much position or clout or a name you carry for yourself, God don't care about none of that. God doesn't care about the outside of man. He's worried about the heart.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
It's an inward thing that happens to man when he gets saved. Is it not? God changed the hearts of men first. We're so backwards that we think that we've got to fix the outside. God sees that, doesn't He? I wonder, what does your heart long for tonight? Does your heart long for the gospel? Does your heart long for the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the brethren? Does your heart long for sinners that are lost? Does your heart long for the brother and the sister that are hurting? Does your heart long to help someone? Or does your heart long for the things of the world and the pleasures and the fulfillment of the flesh? Friend, if your heart longs for anything but God, I would check up tonight.
Amen.
Is there something that happened to me when I got saved? I was drawn, my heart was drawn to Him. Those people that I used to hate, I hated Christians when I was lost. I'll be honest with you, all of a sudden when I got saved, I loved them folks.
Amen.
Those preachers that I used to make fun of, now they're my best friends. God sees the heart. Friend, I tell you now, you can hide, my friend, you can hide from everything, but you can't hide from God. We see the appearance, we see the actuality, and I want to give you this and we'll close. We see the absolute consequences for their actions.
Amen.
We're living in a modern America where it's just pitiful that there are no consequences for anything. Our judicial system is a laughing stock of the world. How men and women can commit murders and rapes and all these things and get off on technicalities and get off and do all these things, and there's no consequences, and men and women know that, and we sit in our church and we mock at the man of God and we scorn the preacher and we turn away the nudge of the Holy Ghost and we say no to the love of God. But friend, we think we've got away with it, but my friend, there are consequences, absolute consequences for our actions.
Amen.
Listen to what God Himself said. In verse 17, then He said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? He said, is sin a light thing? I'll answer that question tonight for you. No. For the wages of sin is death. We've got away from that in most of our churches. There are absolute consequences for man's sin. Men die lost without God every day, and they thought they've got away with it. And by the world's standards, they have their nice houses and their fancy cars, and they've had a good life. But friend, when they die, they face the Lord in judgment. There are absolute consequences. We think sin is a light thing. We have our classifications of small sin and great sin and big sin and little sin. But friend, we have to remember sin is the very thing that put our Savior on the cross of Calvary. And though men and women make a light thing of sin, to God Himself it is never a light thing, not one sin. It will not go pass by or unpunished for those who die lost without God. We see the absolute consequences. Number one, that God did not let one sin pass by. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Listen, he said, therefore will I also deal in fury. Here they were, Brother Derek, and they thought they had got away with it. They played religion, but on the inside, they were doing the abominable things, and they thought they would got away with it. But God told the man of God, I will repay in fury.
Amen.
Friends, we look in American history, and there was a message that shaked the very foundations of the United States of America and turned this nation to God. And a man of God preached a message on sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's what we fail to remember, friend. It is a frightening thing for someone to die lost without God and end up under the fury and the wrath of God Almighty. And we think that we've let it go and nobody's seen, but the actuality of God sees it all. And every sin, every little thing you've ever hid, when you stand before God, will be made manifest in front of God Himself. You imagine the things that you've let go and the things that you've gotten away with and nobody knows about, no one knows anything about but God. He's got a book and He's writing it down. Men will die and nobody will ever know, but one day every man will stand before the white throne judgment of God. There that book will be. And though men make excuses, though they say, I was a good man and I done this, God will bring it out and bring it manifest. And not one sin, not one action, not one bad word, not one evil line, not one cuss, not one thing will pass by God's eye. There was consequences. But the scariest thing I see here was that not only did God not let one sin pass by, God had no pity when they cried. He said, therefore I will also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. God knew that these men and these that were doing these abominable things were heading towards captivity, heading towards slavery. And God knew when they were sent to Babylon that they had cried to God and they would ask God for mercy and ask God for forgiveness. But God said, when they cried to me, I will have no pity on them. He said, I will turn my ear from them. Friend, I still believe the Bible talks about reprobated minds. I believe it with everything inside of me that there are men and women that have turned away the tender nudge of the Holy Ghost of God Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, and the Lord has been long-suffering, not wanting you to perish, knocking on your door. But there comes a day and time when God said, enough is enough. And there are men and women that are sitting in churches all across the world today that God will never touch their hearts again to be saved. And friend, unless God touches man's heart, unless God nudges man's heart, they'll never come to Him. Bible says there's none that seek after God. Amen. See, that's the thing, the consequences of turning away the nudge of the Holy Ghost is every time we sin, every time we say no, we're sinning away our day of grace, and one day the door of salvation will shut. Amen. When will it shut? Lord, I have no idea. Does it shut on every man? Probably not. There's been people that's made deathbed professions and been saved. But I sure wouldn't want to take that chance, Brother Eric. I sure wouldn't want to get to a point in my life where I needed God. And I cried and I cried and I begged and I begged. And God was nowhere to be heard. Friend, you think it's a light thing to sin. But I was in a tent meeting about a month ago with Brother Phil Kidd. And a man had come all the way from Lenore. And he'll tell you that God hadn't spoke to him in 20 years to be saved. 20 years he's looked. 20 years he's went to church. And God had never talked to his heart again. There comes a day I preached a message. Probably a month and a half ago at my church on when a sinner cries and God doesn't answer. See, he's not required. God's not required to save us on our time. God's not required to save us when we think it's convenient for us to get saved. God saves man, God saves women when He calls, when He chooses, when He says it's the time, not when we choose. See, I want to read this and I believe I'll be done. Proverbs 1:22 through 33 is, to me, is this portion of Scripture is just, it's scary sometimes to know that people are right here. The Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" He's saying, how long are you going to do it your way? How long are you going to turn away from me? How long are you going to hold on to religion and push me away? He said, "Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." He's saying, listen, you're doing it your way. I'm giving you a chance. I'm pouring it out. I'm saying you can be saved. See, there'll not be a man or a woman ever stand before God at the judgment and say, "I never had a chance." Grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. But listen, he said, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, as desolation and your destruction cometh, as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore, the consequences." Saying, "I've tried everything." When? What more does he have to do? He sent his son to bleed and die and suffer a cruel death and take your sin away to die and rise again. He's done a whole lot. He said, "Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of way of the simple shall slay them." How simple is salvation, Brother Derek? So simple. A drug addict can do it. So simple, a child can come. So simple, somebody that knew absolutely nothing could come and be saved. How simple. But he said, "For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet for fear of evil." Friend, we don't like to realize there are consequences in life. There are absolute consequences for turning away from God. He don't let no sin pass by. There comes a day when God will have no pity on sinners. When they stand before Him, Brother Wynn, and they say, I've done this, I've cast out devils, I've done all these many wonderful works, He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And God will not feel bad, or God will not be hurt of casting every sinner that stands before Him into hell, because He's done everything He could do. His Son's blood was shed. See, when God looks beyond the walls of religion, beyond the walls of appearance, beyond the walls of whatever it is that you're hiding behind, God sees what nobody else can see. God understands what nobody else can understand. God knows what nobody else but you knows. Friend, I ask you this question tonight, and I want to pray and turn it over to the pastor. God makes you manifest tonight, and God shines a light beyond the walls of religion, beyond everything. What does God find? Does He find a heart that's been saved by the grace of God, or does He find a heart that has no longing for Him? Does God see an outside that's dressed up and an inside that's full of dead men's bones? Friend, when God looks beyond me, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, He sees a saved soul. He sees the blood of His Son applied to my life. But I'm afraid tonight, friend, God shined a light down in your heart, and you need to do something about it. You need to come to Him. Let's bow our heads and pray tonight.